morning and welcome to church on this Easter Sunday. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. This hallelujah. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Let's say Psalm 95 together. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and praise him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if only you would hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as Israel did in the wilderness. When your ancestors tested me, put me to proof, though they had seen what I did, of whom I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Glory to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, so now and forever. Amen. Please stand and let us sing our first song, our first hymn, Jesus Christ is risen today. Hallelujah. Person next to you and say good morning, welcome to church, the Lord be with you and also with you, and Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. Please take a seat. Once again, welcome to church, and especially if you're visiting us today here at Abbotsford Anglican Church, St Andrews, and for those listening in online, we welcome you. My name is the Reverend Trevor Young. I'm the senior minister here at this church, and it's great to have you here with us. If you're able to stay for some morning tea after the service and continue the fellowship, please do so. Move quickly outside into the wonderful playground, don't get blown away afterwards, or stay inside and continue the fellowship. Just again, as a reminder of during the service today, we'll be doing the Lord's Supper. That's Holy Communion, and if you love the Lord Jesus, you are welcome to come to the table. If you are deciding to come to the table, the wine or grape juice and bread will be provided for you up here. Or if you choose to remain seated where you are, then you'll need to at some stage get up, and if you've not already picked one up already, to go and get an individual cup and a wafer inside. And whilst we're taking of the Lord's Supper up here, you are welcome to take and eat and remember with great thankfulness what Christ has done for us in redeeming us while sitting at the while sitting in your pews there. Or you can come to the table, either way. But once again, welcome to church. Let's begin with prayer, shall we? Would you like to pray this prayer with me? Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open and all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets, everything that's in the scriptures, hang on these two commandments. Together, Lord, have mercy on us and write your commandments in our hearts by your Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, Stuart's going to come to read to us from God's Word, and so I invite him up to speak to us. Thanks, Stuart. You can follow along on the screen or in your Bibles in front of you on page 1053.
Good morning, everybody. And happy Easter to all. What a wonderful day. Our Bible reading for today is from John, chapter 20, verses 1 to 23. And as Trevor mentioned, it is on page 1053 of your pew Bibles. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We have an opportunity now to stand and say what we believe in the words of the Nicene Creed with Christians down through the ages. Would you please stand? Together, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. Well, Christmas doesn't seem that long ago, does it? It only seems like a few months ago. And it was only a few months ago. But there's not the same lead-up, is there, interest or celebration for Easter in the world as there is for Christmas. We could be mistaken to think that the latter is more important than the first. Wouldn't it be great if there was the same popularity at Easter time like songs of Easter, you know, as there is for carols at Christmas time? Yet the central celebration of Christianity is not Christmas, it's actually Easter this weekend. It's a great and miraculous thing that God should choose to actually visit us in history. And visit us, indeed he did, in Jesus, as one of us, which we rightly celebrate at Christmas. But the saying in the Bible, for all people to receive, is that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of which we celebrate all year round, but especially at Easter. Not many of us have a reason for being born into the world other than the decision of our parents, but Jesus did. I remember in my naivety as a young teenager realising my mother and father were in their late 40s when I was born, asking my mother, "It must have been a surprise for you both when you realised you were having a baby, you know." Yes, my mother replied with a smile. Your father didn't believe me at first. The reason for that Christ Jesus came into the world was to save sinners. You and me and all those in the world for whom Christ came to save. According to the Bible, all have sinned. All fall short of the glory of God. In other words, all fall short. We all fall short of pleasing God, up to his standard. An easy way of remembering what sin is to think of it as being as selfishness, a passive or aggressive disregard for living life God's way. Now, the natural instinct we all have of putting oneself's interests above that of God's or anybody else's. An inescapable reality, one person's put it, if we're honest with ourselves, that we have if we give the same honesty that we do for others, all right? Sadly, the wages, the consequence of sin, according to the Bible, is death. But not just death, but eternal death, separation from God and all that is good forever. Since the expulsion from the Garden of Eden, we experience here in life both good and evil. There is much, much to be thankful to God for while we live, thanks to the presence and grace of God. But most of all, for the opportunity to actually live for how many years that might be, so as to respond to what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. But at death, when that time comes, there will be a judgment. And we will be, all of us will be accountable for what we have done with Jesus, with the reason for why he became one of us, that he died for our sin to reconcile people to himself. And die he did indeed, according to the witnesses. The Christmas carol of the angels over the shepherds at Bethlehem said just that at his birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, remember? Glory to the newborn king. What comes next? Peace on earth and mercy mild. Next, God and sinners reconciled. In Christ's death, God himself in Jesus bore the consequence for our sin, yours and mine. Death and separation from God forever. All that we heard and were grateful for on Good Friday here at this church. On the cross, God showed his love for us in this, in that whilst we were still sinners, enemies of God, Christ died for us, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. The victory of the cross contains the reason for God's visit. Jesus did not come to just share our experience of life or to teach us one of many ways to live. Nor did he come that we might rob ourselves of life now in all its fullness by just involving him in our lives only when we find it convenient. He came to give us much more, much more. Much more, to rescue us, to give us the assurance of forgiveness, to solve mankind's fundamental problem in life. In God's mercy, Christ willingly took our sin upon himself and bore its consequences in his death. He has achieved our reconciliation. Peace with God, forgiveness, life in all its fullness, now and for eternity. A life to be received, accepted, lived, and enjoyed. But the importance of God's visit did not cease with his death. It could not cease with his death. For how would we know that this was true, let alone that he had the authority and power to be able to achieve it for us? Christ rose from the dead, and rise indeed he did, with his bones, his flesh, and his blood, and the scars of his crucifixion as proof of himself and of our reconciliation. And there were many who saw and believed over the 40 days that he stayed amongst his people and witnessed himself to them, like Paul, the apostle, here. For what I receive, I pass on to you, writes the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, as of first importance, most importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. And after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James and then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also. It's no wonder Mary Magdalene, in our Bible reading this morning, was overjoyed to see Jesus alive. No wonder she wanted to hold on to him and not let him go. How loving of our Lord Jesus to reassure her she had no need to hold on to him. He wasn't going anywhere for a while now. He was going to hang around. And there's no need for her to be anxious. For her, he would be with her forever. Now for a little while in the flesh, and then later face to face in glory. His time to ascend and return to the Father was coming. But there was time now for her and others to see and to believe and to be with Jesus. And then one day, like for all of us who believe in their witness, to be with him, to be with Jesus forever. Friends, there's no message of hope more important for people to hear than what those who witnessed the resurrection of Jesus have told us in the Scriptures. No greater assurance for Christians to hold on to and to remember. And no song more important for us to sing than Jesus died for our sins and rose again to reconcile us to himself. We who believe in him, like Mary, we will see him once again. And we will be with him, and we will be with him forever. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Let me read to you, just to finish off, a wonderful hymn. To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life in atonement for sin and opened the life gate that all may go in. O perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. Great things he has taught us, great things he has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our gladness, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory, great things he has done. Amen. Let's stand and let's sing. Amen. Hallelujah. seated. Diane's going to lead us now in prayer. Thanks, Diane.
Loving Father, we come to you with grateful hearts and offer our humble prayers to you, God Almighty. Firstly, we pray for our world. We hear about so many places around the world suffering from fear, distress, displacement, and loss. We bring to you the people of Israel and Palestine, Sudan, Taiwan and China, France, rural Nigeria, and Brazil. We ask for your comfort to all those struggling to understand or finding a way through their difficulties. May your words of hope reach them, especially at this Easter time, that they can know and understand the peace that comes from you. Empower your missionaries in all places through your Spirit to share the good news we celebrate today with people whose hearts are ready to listen to all who are seeking you. Secondly, we bring you prayers for our nation. God of the nations, we pray for Australia. Inspire and direct our leaders to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Bring many Australians to a knowledge of the truth about Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for us all. Thank you for bringing to our country people from many races and cultures. Take away the mistrust and lack of understanding that so easily divide us. Increase in us true humility and a love for strangers. Remove racism from our midst, that we may share this land and its bounty, and all may hear the gospel of our Saviour Jesus Christ and know his love. Amen. Continue to be present in the hearts and minds of those preparing Australians in the lead up to the referendum later this year. Bring your wisdom to the discussions that are taking place as we all consider the decision we need to make. Maintain in all people ears to hear and an open-minded consideration of others' viewpoints as the issue is discussed. We pray for our Interserve missionaries, the Thomas family in Chiang Mai, that they will keep their eyes focused on you in all that they do and that they will be comforted by your Spirit's leading them in their responsibilities. Keep them all safe and well, dear Lord, along with the teams that work alongside them. We also bring to you the Anglicare Defence Force chaplaincy and ask that you will guide them as your light in the darkness with those they come alongside. Provide our Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, and his government, and the Leader of the Opposition, Peter Dutton, with wisdom and compassion that they will seek your truth to guide their decisions as they consider the issues that are before them in the best interests of all people. Amen. Thirdly, we pray for our community here at St Andrews. Dear Lord, we desire to know you better and love you more. Please guide us by your Holy Spirit to read your word with focused hearts and minds, open to hear those things you want to teach us. Give us hearts to serve you here and in our community more broadly, to share the love that you have shown us with all people we meet or work alongside or gather with, so that they too will come to know your love, your mercy, your peace, and your comfort. We ask that you will particularly comfort anyone going through illness, injury, hurt, or sadness. May they find reassurance in your word, feel your presence each day, and be drawn ever closer to you as you console and encourage them. We'll now come together in praying the set prayer that we may know the risen Christ together. God, our Father, by raising Christ your Son, you conquered the power of death and opened for us the way to eternal life. In our celebration today, raise us up and renew our lives by the Spirit that is within us. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
We come to that time now in the service where we remember the life, death and resurrection and glorious ascension and coming back of our Lord Jesus in the Lord's Supper or Holy Communion together. If you love the Lord Jesus, you are welcome to come to the table Or if you would rather stay in the pews and take of the individual cups that are at the back, then I invite you now, if you've not done so already, just to grab one of those at the back of the church. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we who come to receive the Holy Communion of the body and blood of our Saviour Christ, we can come only because of his great love towards us in Christ Jesus. For although we are completely undeserving of his love, yet in order to raise us from the darkness of death to everlasting life as God's sons and daughters, our Saviour Christ humbled himself to share our life and to die for us on the cross. In remembrance of his death and as a pledge of his love, Jesus instituted this holy sacrament, which we are now to share. But those who would eat the bread and drink the cup of the Lord must examine themselves and amend their lives. They must come with a repentant heart, a changed heart, and a steadfast faith. Above all, they must give thanks to God for his love towards us in Christ Jesus. You then, who truly repent of your sins and are reconciled with others, intending to lead a new life of joyful obedience to God, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to strengthen and sustain you. But first, let us all make a humble confession of our sins to Almighty God, that we may know his forgiveness together. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you made all things, and you call everyone to account. With shame, we confess the sins that we have committed against you in thought, word, and deed. We rightly deserve your condemnation. We turn from our sins and are truly sorry for them. They are a burden and cannot bear. Have mercy on us, most merciful Father. For the sake of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, forgive us all that is past. Enable us to serve and please you in newness of life, to your honour and glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who has promised to forgive the sins of all who turn to him with repentance and faith, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the words of assurance for those who truly turn to Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. For some of you today, that may well have been your very first day of new life, of new birth with Christ. Hallelujah. For others, it may be a recommitment to Christ and a way forward ahead. Hallelujah as well. Join with me. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. He is worthy of all praise. Always and everywhere, it's right for us to praise you, Lord, Holy Father, mighty Creator, and eternal God. Therefore, with all those gathered around your throne in heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name in words of never-ending praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Glory to you, Lord Most High. Let us pray. We do not presume to come to your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your many and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. We thank you, our Father, that in your love and mercy you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our salvation. By this offering of himself once and for all time, Jesus made a full, perfect and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world and commanded us to continue a remembrance of his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, merciful Father, and grant that we who receive these gifts of your creation, this bread and this wine, according to our Saviour's command, in remembrance of his suffering and death, may be partakers of his body and blood. Who on the night that he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and then he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the meal, Jesus took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Come, let us eat and drink in remembrance that Christ died for us, and feed on him in our hearts, by faith, with thanksgiving. Amen. Let us pray as our Saviour Christ has taught us, we are confident to say together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of our Saviour Jesus Christ. We thank you for assuring us of your goodness and love, and that we are members of his body and heirs through hope of your eternal kingdom. Together, keep us faithful to your Son and strengthen us by your Spirit to do the good works you have prepared for us to do, for your honour and praise. Amen. Well, once again, most happy and holy Easter to you. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Church meets here at 9:30 a.m. most Sundays, all Sundays at 9:30, and you're welcome to join us. During the week of school terms, we have midweek Bible studies and opportunities for us to grow in our knowledge and love of God. It's great to see a good number of visitors, more than I anticipated would be here today, and it's wonderful, rebuke to me. And it's great to have you all here. We hope you can come and join us for a Sunday with us. If you're able to stay for some morning tea now and continue the fellowship, please do so. There will be people up the front at the church here if you wish to have people pray for you, either on this side or on this side as well, myself, if you want someone to pray for you today, for whatever reason it might be. It's all in confidence as well. Thank you for giving towards ministry in this place. We normally would do that just by our online offertories, the regular members of the church today. But if you are visiting today and would like to give towards ministry in this place and mission, there is a box at the back of which you can place an offertory in. After church, of course, again, being COVID safe, once we've got our morning tea, if you can move out into the playground and continue the fellowship, you are welcome to go on the play equipment, no matter what age you are, but be safe, all right? Or you can stay inside and out of the wind and the cold. Let's stand and sing our last song together. Some of you might be thinking this is the older version, Amazing Grace. It kind of starts off like this. But realizing what Jesus has done for us in Christ, our chains have gone. We've been set free. We are now reconciled and friends with God through Jesus.
The sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious deed that grace appeared. The oh.
May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.